we were talking about praise and worship last week, and I want to continue on, and we're just kind of touching some high spots on these things, and because I want you to see it, and I want you to experience, I want you to get in there, but I just know that praise, now next week we're going to talk about worship a little bit, because praise is different than worship, and thanksgiving is different than praise, and we're going to look at a little bit of that, and all that was summed up in that term, in that place that David had, Mount Zion. That was the prophet's hope, that Zion would come again. And we talked about that last week, a day when God and man would join in holy celebration, and when God became a man and took us into himself. And the Hebrew writer got a hold of and says, brothers and sisters, my Lord and my God, you have come to Mount Zion, the hope of every prophet, the song of every prophet. Glorious celebration. But one thing I want to look at, and I really didn't understand this, but the more I look, now we're looking back in the Old Testament. There, to them, and we looked at this a little last week, but I didn't really get on this word. David appointed singers and players. In other words, there was an art to praising God. An art. And that art, as outlined in the scriptures, guys, and I just want to tell you something. When you find this going on, I mean real praise, what you'll find is a church that is really reaching out. And I'm not talking about reaching out in community. It's that praise that reaches out. And the world looks in on it, and they demand to know what's going on in there. When we began to praise God, I mean really, when we began to praise God, something happens just as it did in the Acts. You know, people say, well, you know, those miracles was for old-timey, you know, the old church. I'm telling you what, they're still there today. They're still there today. I mean, just a couple psalms here. I mean, look at this. Psalms 9 and 11. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth. Where does he dwell? In Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Psalm 22 and 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Where does God dwell? I mean, if we're to look at this scripture, and we're to take it, where does God dwell? He dwells in Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? The praises of the Lord. Let me just read you some scriptures. See, I don't even know where we'll go or how far we'll get. Psalm 47. We looked at this a little bit last week, but let me read it to you again. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now listen, you can't read these scriptures in a seminary voice. I mean, look at this. It says a psalm for the sons of Korah. Now, is that it? Well, we're going to talk about the Korah people here just in a few minutes. But, I mean, look how this starts out. You know who Korah was? Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible or awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us. We ain't even smart enough, Patty, to choose our own inheritance. He shall choose it before for us, and he did. And he says, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved. Yeah. Paul got a hold of that, and Paul says, I count it all dung. I count it all loss except for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Here's your inheritance, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. God is going up. How's he going up? With a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Yes. Sing praises. Yes. I mean, look at verse 6. It's over and over and over. God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princesses of the people are gathered together. Even the people of God, the covenant people. Even the people of the covenant. I'm in Christ. Christ in me. Even those people are gathered together. For the shields of the earth belonging to God. He is greatly exalted. Let that psalm just get down in there and bang off our walls. And let me just keep on reading here in Psalm 48, because you would think, okay, I got it out of my system, let's just stop. Well, my Lord, here's another song of Korah. Great is the Lord. I'm clapping my hands. I just go into verse number 2. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. I told you, in this, you never see a more beautiful situation. God among us, Emmanuel. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. The sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it. What did they see? They saw a people praising God. They saw it and they marveled. They troubled. They hasted away. What's going on? I'm telling you, that's why we sung that verse. I won't let the rocks cry out. Because my Lord, if you don't, they will. Fear took hold on them. As pain of a woman in travail, thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of our Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We've thought of thy loving kindness, O God. Do you ever just think of his loving kindness? His son, as we've been talking about on Wednesday night, his loving kindness, his mercy, his covenant. We thought of it, we considered, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is the praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. We talked about those judgments. I mean, who is this great God that let a man as us crucify him? Who is this great God that let... Who is this God? What other God would let us put a crown of thorns on his head and spit on him and beat him to a pulp and strip him naked and hang him on the cross? Who is this? Who in the midst of that says, I forgive you. I love you anyway. There's the judgment. Walk about Zion and go around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Look at the beauty. Consider her palaces that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God. Do you get that? This God. I don't know what God you're talking about, but this God. They got a God for everything, but Paul says this God that you don't know about, but this God, we're singing praises to him. This God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. I run across this verse last night. Here's Jesus about to be crucified, and he's brought before Pilate. Because, and you know, I want to write this scripture down and tape it on my truck and tape it in the office and just tape it everywhere, because the Lord really brought this around in my heart. Here's Jesus. He's being taken, you know, to Caiaphas. They've just got him out of the garden. He goes before Pilate. I'm in John 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. coming into the judgment hall. Look what he says. The judgment hall. I mean, what is the judgment hall? This is the place of a decision, right? And he called Jesus. I mean, he sat in the judgment hall. He calls Jesus. Jesus comes, stands before him, and he looks at Jesus in the face. He's looking at Emmanuel, the one that these prophets were looking to and singing to. And he's looking at Jesus in the face and says, "Are you the king?" Because he didn't look like a king. He didn't just look like a little old carpenter that's already starting to get beaten, punched, and spit on. And he looks at this little humble man who no aura of sunshine is. He don't have a halo on. And he looks at him and says, "Are you the king?" Now here's the verse that really got me. And Jesus answered him and said, "Are you saying this of yourself, or did others tell it to you?" In other words, do you know for a fact Jesus is your king? Or are you getting this secondhand information because some preacher, somebody on TV, or because the Bible told you so? Have you had a real set-down encounter with the king himself? I mean, he's asking Pilate, "Are you asking me these questions, or did you hear it?" So I hear the Lord, and I'm telling you these things that I've been saying, they become a challenge more and more and more and more, because I just hear the Lord say, do you know this? Or are you just reading the words on the page? Well, let me talk to you a little bit about a word here that we use. Because in our English language, guys, our English language is a lazy language. It doesn't have the pop and pizzazz that Greek does or Latin does. And we just, like I said, we've been talking about this a little. We did on Wednesday night. We talked about the word love. We got one word for love in the English language, and the word love means basically whatever you want. I mean, we use the same word to describe a man's love for a woman as we do for a kid loving ice cream or watching a cartoon. Same word. But in the Greek, they were different words. Well, the Hebrew, same thing. These words, they meant something, and they were placed exactly right. Now, in the Old Testament, they had developed the art of praise. I mean, they appointed singers and musicians. And to those Hebrews, praise involved, it invaded every part of their life. I want you to know that. I mean, I admire looking back. And you know, you got to be careful how you say these things. But I look at the blacks when they were slaves. And they were out picking cotton, but yet they were singing songs. This is what the Hebrews did. I mean, I don't care what they did. They were singing praises unto their Lord. That's what they were doing. They were, whatever they did, they were singing. I mean, so much so, this went on the other nations knew it, because when they went into captivity, they said, "Man, we got y'all now. Sing us some songs over here. We love to hear you guys sing and praise." I mean, to those, praise invaded every part of their life. It invaded every circumstance. You ever think about that? It invaded every circumstance, whether they was looking forward, looking back, in the middle of it, whatever they were going through, praise was there. I mean, in today's church, it's almost like it's illegal. It's almost like it's illegal. Except for one or two. I mean, it's a hard thing to do. And I want to show you something, guys. I don't know. You know, I never ask you guys to do anything, but I'm going to ask you to do two things here right now. And I'll bet you feel, because your flesh will, when you begin to praise the Lord, your flesh will. It fights against it, Patty. It really does. It fights against it. So if you guys would just bear with me just for one second, this may sound stupid, but I'm just going to ask you to do this one thing. If you guys don't mind, could y'all just raise both hands up in the air? Does everybody just raise both hands up in the air? Now I want you to do this one thing for me with both hands in the air. Just say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You see? I mean, you can kind of feel that. I mean, this is the way these people went about. Praise the Lord. I tell you guys that because you know how hard it was for me to begin to raise my hand. Some of you people may have grown up in it, but I didn't. The most we would get was one hand up, Josh. And that was when we was praying. We didn't lift up holy hands, we lift up a holy hand. And we prayed, sometimes with one finger up or whatever, but we couldn't just do it. I know it makes us uptight, but I want to look at a word here that is a word that is known internationally. No matter what language you go to, known all over the world, and the word is the word hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that word is from, it's made up of two words. And a first word, of course, is hallel. You guys may have studied this out, but it's a word of praise. It's a word commanding us to praise. And then Yah, which is the word for God, Jehovah, God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And a command. When I look at this word, I think of Jeremiah, who said, except for this fire in my bones, you know, I was going to quit. I mean, look at all these circumstances that I'm in. Is Jeremiah thrown into the dumb part of the prison? And I'm thinking, you know, Jeremiah's thinking, this is not a situation to be praising God in, but there's this fire in my bones. And I've got to.
Yes.
I've got to.
Yes.
And if we go back to the root of the word hallel, it was a word used for sunshine or starshine I'm not talking the drink here, or moonshine. It was the word for the shine off of a celestial body. You see, hallel, it was to describe the shine off of a celestial body. Something that burst forth in the midst of darkness. And to break it down simply, the word means to boast. It means to boast. To be excited. To be to enjoy to the full. And naturally, you know, if you're excited about somebody, you're going to boast about them. I mean, we see this naturally. So, oh man, yeah, that guy was the best I've ever heard. Or, I mean, she could sing better than anybody. And you boast about it. This is the word hallel, to boast, to be excited about. You boast about them to other people. It also means to be thankful for, to boast in one's superior ability and character. Are you hearing? One's superior ability and character. I mean, for example, you know, it could be maybe you work for somebody and you're super proud of them and you boast in what they do and what kind of person they are. I mean, let me just break it down into cartoon language today. It's like going bananas over somebody. Not just a nodding of the head. Yeah, he's good. Oh no, this is a raving. You're positively raving about them. You know what I think of when I think of that? You guys probably wouldn't remember this, but there was a music group that come out in the 60s called the Beatles.
Who's that?
Do you remember, Kathy? She don't remember. She was born in the 70s. You guys remember seeing any footage? I mean, when these guys pulled up, the girls, I mean, they're flat going crazy. This was the Hebrews over their God. Now this was they come up to the feast of Passover. They were excited. I mean, they set their schedule around it. It wasn't like, oh, golly, we got to go to church this morning. I had stuff to do. To them, man, it was, let's leave early. Let's get there early. I want to get a front row. So I want to be first in line. I want to see when that high priest come out. I mean, this is the way they went. You know, we sung that song right there, and I wrote that little verse in there last night. I won't let the rocks cry out, and you know, I was looking at that from Luke 19. You know, Jesus says, I mean, he just had the last, they're getting ready for the Last Supper, and he tells the disciples, go up there and find the colt that's tied and bring it down here. If anybody asks, tell them the Lord hath need of it. So they go up and they go tie the colt. The owner of the colt says, hey, what are you doing? The Lord hath need of him. So, and then the scripture, I was looking at those verses and it says, they set the Lord on the colt. Can you imagine this? These disciples, I'm just, you know, because one day he's the king, the next day they don't know. One day he's eating, they're eating flesh, and you know, the next day everybody's leaving. I can just see this going back and forth for 3 years, but it's about to draw to a conclusion. So I can just see them beginning to see something. They sent Jesus on the colt, and I bet right there when they did this, one of them, because these guys were versed in the Old Testament, these guys, they would look and say, my God, this is the prophecy of Zechariah, who says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king is coming to thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding on an ass upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And they said, Jesus on there, they think, my God, this is it. This is it. Now I want you to think about this. Jesus is on the top of the Mount of Olives looking down over Jerusalem. And they set him on that. And he comes walking down. Can you get this picture in your head? You from beneath, but I came down from above. And Jesus comes down the holy mount. And he's coming down. And just as David brought in that ark, he was bringing in Jesus. He comes down and he's riding. He don't look like a king, but they recognize him as Emmanuel, King, Prince of Peace, King of Kings. They began to shout. They began to take their coat off and lay it down in front as he's coming down, and they began to shout and to shout praises unto God Almighty. Well, here's the Pharisees. You know what the Pharisees do? The Pharisees come up and they say, tell the people to be quiet. This is not how we do it. We're mature believers now. We don't do that crazy stuff anymore. We've gotten civilized. We're civilized Hebrew people now. We don't jump around like David did. David was crazy. We're civilized. And my God, Jesus said, if these don't praise me, the stones will immediately cry out. They began to rejoice, to praise. The scripture says with a loud voice, for all the mighty works they had seen. I love this one little part. It says, and they were saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The word Hallel. You remember Abraham and Sarah? When they left the place of the altar, they went down to Egypt. Well, Pharaoh had a harem of women. So he always had the spies looking out for good-looking women that he could bring into his harem that would make him happy for a little while. Well, here comes Abraham and Sarah. Now, this woman, she's old. Well, the spies spy out Sarah. They run back to Pharaoh and said, man, you have got to see this woman. And the scripture says they commended her to Pharaoh. That word is hallel. In other words, they went back and raved about her beauty. They went back and raved. You remember Absalom? All the people would gather around and Absalom would pull his hair, and the people would gather around and they would rave, they would hallel. I want you to get this. They would just gather out and say, man, Absalom is the most beautiful man we've ever seen. Let's just watch him pull his hair, and they hallel him. I didn't know. I was doing a little search on this word. You remember David, when the Philistines, David is over there in their camp, and they're about to go to battle, and they got David, and they said, well, David will turncoat on us and all that. And then it says David feigned himself as a madman. Well, that feigned himself as a madman is one word. And guess what the word is? Hallel. I'm thinking, my God, David wasn't acting like an idiot. He started praising God right there, and they said he's a madman. I mean, you go look it up. There was the word hallel. He began to praise God in the midst of the Philistines. And they said, he's a madman. We can't have this guy with us. I mean, the book of Psalms, we could say the book of Psalms is really about raving and boasting, couldn't we? I mean, it's the book of hallel. Let me go over here to Psalms. As a matter of fact, in Psalms 113 to 118, they are called the Psalms of Hallel. And these are the Psalms that would be sung at Passover. Psalms 113 to 118. And if you go back, and I hope you will this week, go read all those Psalms, because it's the Psalms of them boasting about God rescuing them from Egypt. I mean, they would sing these songs. I mean, I know this. Let me read it. Look how they start out. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. I mean, you got to understand, guys, these guys were slaves 430 years. And every year, once a year, when they gathered out for the Passover, and they sat at that table with the bread and the wine and the bitter herbs on that table, before they would eat, they would begin to sing the song, praise ye the Lord. I mean, you know, we bow our head. Oh, Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it to the nurse. These guys began to sing. I mean, go into Wendy's today when you go eat and jump in there and spread your food out and just start singing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Bless the Lord who lives. That would be saying grace to them. You see what I'm talking about? I mean, the Lord is worthy to be excited about. You just gotta see it. He's worthy to be excited about it. He's worthy. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. I mean, they're saying this with such excitement. It's almost like somebody might need to apologize for somebody. You know, like, oh, my friend, he's a little crazy over here. He's raving a little too much. This is how they said it. Look at Psalms 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. I mean, even if you're not part of the covenant people, still yet, this God that I'm telling you about is worthy to be praised. I mean, you people, you got gods everywhere, but you've got to admit this God named Jehovah, this God named Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, Lord, King of Kings, you got to admit he's worthy. You got to admit there's none like him. You got to admit you got gods for everything, but you have to admit there's no God like him.
Amen.
For his merciful kindness is what? Great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Oh, man. Look at Psalms 118. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because why? His mercy, his aside, endureth forever. His covenant endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear him say, his mercy endures forever. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. I mean, you can't read these Psalms without an emotional voice. And I'm telling you what, guys, I promise you, go home and do this. Get these Psalms out and just don't read them in silence. Read them out loud. And just read it again. And just read it again and read it again. And before long, these things, it'll like Jonathan, it'll just be honey on your lips. It will. I'm telling you, it'll just be honey on your lips. You remember the Last Supper? Here's the Last Supper, and the Scripture says, and boy, we use this in the Primitive Baptist to make sure we couldn't have musical instruments in the church, but I'm telling you what, you throw out three quarters of the Old Testament if you ain't got a guitar. I say that because I'm playing a guitar. We don't need Jeff. He's just an old piano player. They have pianos in there. I'm trying to find that in there, but I'm going to rewrite it. Find out. Guys, these guys were good. They were professionals at playing. But here at the Last Supper, the Scripture says they sung a hymn and went out. I wonder what song they were singing. You reckon it was the top 40? They were singing Psalm 118. They would sing the last verses of Psalms 118. And I love how the Scripture says, and they went out. Do you realize that for thousands of years they had sung Psalm 118? But this time it says that they went out, Patty, and I love that, because they are stepping out of singing just a song about a Passover and stepping into the real Passover itself. God, he stepped out of what? He stepped out of it. They went out and stepped right into something brand new. I just hear Jesus say, behold, I make all things new. From now on, these guys, when they come together and had communion or whatever, when they sung Psalm 118, believe you me, I bet right in the middle of that song, John would just break out and say, this same Jesus, this one that you by wicked hands took and crucified, this word of life, I touched him and I handled him and I laid my head upon his breast and I dipped my biscuit in the same sop he did. This same one. I took his very mother into my house. And he said, John, behold thy mother. Woman, behold thy son. I bet Psalm 118 had some excitement to it. I mean, let me just read you a few of these verses. I start at verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous. I mean, it's marvelous. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. You think Jesus, when they were singing Psalm 118, and they got to this part of the verse, and it says, this is the day that Jesus looked over at Peter and winked and said, big boy, this is the day. This is the day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of God. God is the Lord, which has shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. I mean, just think about the word hallelujah. Just praise him and meditate on who he is. His love for me. I'm telling you what, guys, some of these scriptures, we quote, well, there'll be a little phrase in there. We quoted Galatians 2:20 so much, and that little phrase, who loved me. I mean, do you realize, do you ever just say that? God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you realize that, David got a hold of this. David began to write songs, and it come to his mind one time, and he says, you know what? There's no place I can go, Denise, that God is not. I can't get away from him. I can take the wings of the morning and fly to the othermost parts of the sea. He's there. I can make my bed in hell, and the Lord is there. If I ascend up to heaven, he is there. Paul got a hold of that. I think Paul must have been reading the same psalm right there. And Paul said, now, brothers and sisters, you church of Rome, therefore, who can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Now, these people over here, they're saying they're like lambs to the slaughter. They're sheep to the slaughter. Watch them. They're just prey. But Paul says, nay. I love that. Nay. But we are more than conquerors, more than overcomers in him. Then he goes on to just say, can death separate us? Can peril, can distress from anxiety, from poverty, can anything separate us from the love of God? Absolutely not. And he began to say, because his mercy endureth forever. That's why he could begin to sing out. I mean, Paul knew this, and when he was in the Philippian jail and he's down there and he just got whipped, and he says, you know what? They think they can separate me from the love of God, but he's worthy to be praised, and my back may be bleeding, and all this stuff is going on, but it don't matter. I'm going to sing out anyway. And I love that. As they began to sing out, the prison began to shake. The foundation of that jailer's world began to rock. Mighty earthquake took place. Prison bars opened up. But you know what? I mean, this is our mindset of God. This is why judgment has to come. Because we think, as Patty talked to you about, we think that God has come to judge us for sin. I mean, you guys know that as a church person, you get around a non-believer, they think you're there to call their sins to remembrance. Instead of rejoicing and being glad and saying, oh, there's a preacher, oh, great, glad to see you. Oh, it's like, oh, no. All he's going to do is tell me I'm going to bust hell wide open, and why wasn't I there, why didn't I do? You know, that Shulamite woman, I went back and read this. She didn't, the widow woman? With the cruse of all that didn't run out. And then all of a sudden her son gets sick and he dies. And she runs to Elijah the prophet and says, I know why. You, the prophet, you're just here to call my sin to remembrance. Isn't that what people think about the church? You're just there to call my sin to remembrance. People want that. People come out to church and say, well, tell me what sin is so I know. You're just there to call my sin to remembrance. But I love the old prophet. Now, where's he at? I just love, go read the story. It's in 1 Kings 17, I believe. He takes that son and takes him up to his place and lays him on his bed. You see, this is what Jesus did. He came into our death. And the scripture says, and he spread himself, he laid himself on top of that little boy. This is what Jesus did. He came down. We thought he was coming down to call our sin to remembrance, but he came down to spread himself out and join us in our death. Do you see what he did? I mean, this is mighty to be praised. And he joined us in our death. And he breathed into that little boy. And that little boy came back to life. And he brought that little boy back to his mother and said, here you go. Call your sin to remembrance. Come on. Come on. Jesus said, you know what, guys? You know why I came here? I came that you might have life. I mean, they're wondering, why is this God, Emmanuel, peace on earth, joy to the world? Why is all these things? And Jesus just said, look, I didn't come in the world for judgment. You're already condemned. He says that in John. Go read it. For I did life, and that more abundant. I came as the river of life. I came as we sang the songs. For all you that are thirsty to come and drink, I came to set a table that you who have been starving could come and eat. That's why I come. Because that's who I am. I came for my namesake, that I will have a people. I will be their God and they will be my people. Now let me just finish up right here. Let me tell you how important praise was. Because in 2 Chronicles, here's old King Jehoshaphat. You guys know this story. And he looks out and here comes Moab and Amnon. The children. There's three of them. They got together and they're coming. They're coming from a great distance. Coming across the sea. The spies, they go back and tell Jehoshaphat, my God, trouble is coming. These guys are coming against you. And I don't know, for me, I just always like to break it down and just bring it into the current situation. And I just look out because sometimes you can see trouble coming. Sometimes you can just see it coming. Now, like what old Jehoshaphat did, he set his mind, he set to see the Lord, to hear the Lord, declare to fast. I mean, sometimes he just said, you know what, I don't know what to do in this situation. I know trouble is coming. I know here it comes, and I don't know what to do in this situation. So, everybody just be quiet, and let's inquire of the Lord. Then he begins, because he's a covenant God, and the scripture says that Jehoshaphat stood at the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, oh, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? Can you see this? Have you ever just been brought to a situation when you're talking to God and saying, are you not God? Are you not God over everything? Don't you not have all might and power? Do you not see the situation that's coming? I love verse 7 here. Art not thou our God? Now wait a minute. I know you're God and King of Kings, but let's bring this down and make it personal, Job. Are you not my God? The same God that was a friend to Abraham? Are you not my God? Am I not in covenant with you? I'm dead and my life is in with Christ and God. You're our God. Now wait a minute. This is not just any God. This is our personal God. As a matter of fact, let me recant a little history. Who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel? And you gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever. Abraham, your friend. Remember, God? Remember you called Abraham your friend? You gave it to him, and guess what? Abraham is our father. We're the children of Abraham. You gave it to him. We built you a sanctuary for your name's sake. If when evil cometh as a sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. What name? This is Zion. And cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear, and thou wilt help. Then he begins to tell them, my God, these people are coming and they're wanting to run us out of your possession. They're wanting to run us out of your possession. And then here come, I'm going to skip down to verse 15. Here come these Levites, and they said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Is this even a verse that's allowed to be quoted in New Testament, modern day churches who are trying to form a great army to go out and do great battles and fight the devil and do all these things. And here is this Old Testament prophet who gets a hold of it, and he says, don't be dismayed, don't fear, because the battle is not yours, it is God's. Man. Look at verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight. You don't even need to fight, Patty. You don't even have to fight. You don't even have to fight in this battle. But set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. It's got that little phrase, with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go ye out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And look at verse 19. The Levites, the children of the Kohathites, the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. You know what got me, guys? And I'm going to finish up right here just a second. You know who these Korahites are? These are the sons of Korah. Now, why is that significant? Because the sons of Korah were the guys, they were of the tribe of Levi. And whenever the temple or the tabernacle of Moses was about to be moved, they went and got badger skin and covered everything up. And I went through the scriptures. You take the ark down, covered up with badger skin. Take the candlestick down, covered up with badger skin. Take the table of showbread down, covered up with badger skin. Take the altar, covered up with everything, covered up with badger skin. I wonder why. Once they got it all covered up, then the Levite, or the sons of Korah here, would put the staves in the ark, everything all covered up, put it on the shoulder, and they would begin to march. Everybody following them. You remember the songs we read? The songs of Korah. I mean, the sons of badger skin, Patty, this has to do with God becoming a man. All the things of the tabernacle becoming a man. And they carried these things everywhere they went. But then they rose up, and the scripture says they rebelled against God. The sons of Korah did, and you know the story about Aaron's rod and Bud, and they come in and they said, oh, you guys take too much on you, Moses and Aaron. You know, all the people are holy, and let's, you know. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. Can you imagine the name that they had to bear for 1,000 years? You are a rebellious people. You're the ones who stood up against Moses. You're the one who stood up against Aaron, you Korahites. But now, can you see this great point of restoration? Now, guys, because now we're talking, Solomon's temple's already set up. There was nothing else for them to carry, nothing else for them to do except to go out and be in the front of this battle and go out and sing praises, sing hallelujah in the middle of a battle. Let me just read this verse. He consulted with the people and he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what they went out to say. Hallelujah. His mercy endured forever. When they went out, guys, they went out to pick spoils up. And the scripture says there was so much spoils out there, they were 3 days in gathering the spoils. 3 days in gathering the spoils. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance, it says, of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Do you get that, guys? For me, felt like we have been those who have been mourning in silence. Patty talked about it for years, she mourned. And I'm saying, Jesus read that and he closed the book because the mourning time was over.
Yes.
I come to give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That he might be glorified. I hope, guys, that you will. From now on, take the time to praise him. Set it apart. Just give it. Just praise him. Read them songs. Read them out loud. Praise him. Because if you don't take nothing away, take this away. The battle is not yours. The battle is our God's. I'm going to turn this thing back.